everything will change, a new computational wave. VR is like, woo!
Hello,
and welcome to the next episode of Research VR, where we dig deep beyond the realms of virtual reality. Today we are joined by the usual co-host, me, Peter Lekhoff, as well as Krzysztof Zdebski.
Yo.
But we also have two wonderful guests. One is Kirill Pakutny.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, and Sergei Tashenko.
Hi, everyone.
Very well. I managed to pronounce the names correct. That's a rare occasion. Those two young fellows are from Ukraine, and we catch them once again as the previous episode on the CeBIT 2017 in the VR hall. I feel like over 50 startups and big companies doing VR all gathered together in Hanover and doing awesome things. But some companies are just a little special, or they actually do something with special people.
Aren't we all special?
Aren't we all special? That's true. And I would say that both of you are definitely falling in that category with the Sensorama Loop. Could you tell us, first of all, more about it?
Yeah, Sensorama Lab. This is an initiative that we launched in Kiev, in Ukraine, to bring more people in virtual reality, augmented reality from other fields like game design or architecture, artists, designers, to help them to work on their own projects or to help them with other projects, commercial ones that they can work on.
So in the sense, it's a co-working space?
Yeah, actually it's co-working space with hardware, with mentorship, with courses, education.
We're bringing
different speakers. Last one, we had speaker from Oxford University, UX UI designer.
Oh, your topic, Chris.
Yes.
In mixed reality.
Why wasn't I there? Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. She's actually starting research. But it was really interesting topic. Next one, we hope to bring people from United States. So we're trying to find as much as possible people who have great experience to share it with people in Kiev.
Actually, it's not just in co-working. We are growing and building a VR/AR ecosystem. So we are providing engineers, developers, designers, artists with possibilities to work with the latest hardware, VR hardware, software, to get access to educational courses, lectures, trainings, and to in order to build really outstanding projects and products, or join some of projects which we are working on.
Which is quite impressive. What's the background of both of you?
As for us, we started the company 7 years ago.
7 years?
Yeah.
Wait, that's before the VR wave came with Oculus?
Yeah. We started from interactivity projects in multi-touch screens, software development for touch screens. It was projects with Kinect, projection mapping.
Oh,
so
nice.
It was a lot of different projects, also RFID, NFC.
Wait.
And 3 years ago, we started working with virtual reality when we saw first one, Oculus DK1. We was very amazed by it possibilities, and of course this is very, it was super cool to start working in this field.
Yeah. And you?
We started the company 7 years ago, but we studied at one school, and after university and our first jobs, we launched our company.
Which studies did you attend?
I'm a network engineer.
Whoa. And you?
I'm a publisher, and also I was working in media.
That's nice.
In newspaper, TV, portals, like was media holding.
Okay. So you guys met together at your first job, or you studied together?
In school.
At school.
At school, so even earlier.
Yeah.
That's a success story, where you actually build a startup with your own friend. That's nice. And when you started 7 years ago, Europe in general is rather not the best place to get funding. And because Ukraine is a developing country, I guess it's harder to get funding even than, let's say, in London or maybe even France. So how did you bootstrap yourself? Did you get funding, or did you get start to do projects? Was it a small project?
Family and friends, some small, really small investments, and then we started making commercial projects. for companies in Ukraine, in some post-USSR countries, and then we started to moving to the European market, to to United States. But we were developing from project to project and investing money into our new research and products which we are working on now.
So maybe we have some listeners who are not from US or like Germany, and the numbers tell us that we have some. What would you recommend them if they want to go into the VR business and start? So what did you learn yourself, and what would you not do again? Or like, what would you do the same way? So how did you connect and stuff?
First of all, you need to think bigger and go to the bigger markets. Don't try to work only on your own market in your place. Try to go to the biggest exhibition which you know in your field.
Like CeBIT, for example.
Try to go to United States and see what's going on there. Chinese market. Yeah, so as soon as possible, you will get on the biggest markets.
Yes.
The sooner you will have more money.
Mm. And coming back to the topic that caught my increased attention, the autistic children. How did you came across the project, and what exactly do you do with them?
We are interested in educational projects, and we can say that the projects that we are making with autism kids is one of the educational projects we are working on. So it started from friendship with some guys who are making art therapy in art center. So we started bringing RCC Vive with Tilt Brush and showing what is possible to do. And the kids starting showing their world using virtual reality, and it was very interesting to look what's going on and to talk with those people who was making these courses for a long period, and they said that everyone was showing their world as it is. We found that every kid who was involved, they was very interesting to get in virtual reality again.
Yes.
So we started to making such events more. And then, of course, we started thinking that we need to collect data about how they're experiencing. And to this date, we had already like 5 events. And we started collecting surveys for every kid, and probably next we'll be collecting like EEG,
maybe eye tracking.
Yeah, probably eye tracking, but to understand which parts of the brain is working.
But both of you have basically not much experience with medical. How was it the first time when you worked with autistic children? Because I think it's not the easiest topic, right?
But in our team, like Labyrinth, we have people who already worked in such centers. They have psychological background.
Yeah,
and of course those people who are our friends, they have education in and research in this field. So
how was it for you, Sergey?
Yes, I think that it would be that it was rather difficult for to show to children, but I think that they are really that we were very excited that they really liked it, and they expressed their real emotions and what they were doing, and also except working with autists, we provided virtual reality experiences to cancer center for children, and we do this every month. I think that it is a great event for them, the possibility to forget for some time, maybe forget about their illnesses, about what is going on, there in this hospital and to experience this imaginable great world. So I think that they really get very bright emotions, and they when we go there each month, they're really happy to meet us, our colleagues. I think that it's really meaningful.
Yeah. How is data collection helping you? Because it sounds like the main output, the main key performance indicator that you're looking for here is the kids' response. So basically, they feel better, they don't feel better. They feel happier, they don't feel happier. So how... What are you really measuring? What are you measuring sort of for?
Yeah, it's measuring what is changing from one to next and next side chick.
So engagement, how quickly they move, what they draw?
No, how they react on some suggestions. Are they drawing what they asked for drawing, or they always drawing what they want and don't react on anyone? So... Yeah, it's for tracking how it's helping to them.
Okay.
But if to say generally about this project, so as we are a laboratory, for us it is interesting to have to help people who have research experience to work on this project. So we are interesting that in our laboratory in Sensorama, this project... starting growing and developing, and our mission is to involve researchers who are interesting to work in this field, and we can provide them everything that we have, like hardware, some mentorship. We are glad to meet new people who already have experience to share knowledge what's possible.
So just to understand a little better how the Sensorama works, I am the researcher and I have an idea for the autistic child therapy or engagement application, whatever. And I come to your lab, and what happens next?
I think that the first thing is to describe the project in details. And
to whom am I describing it?
I think that to our community, to part of community who is interested in such kind of projects.
Mm-hmm. And how do I describe it?
I think that it is a meeting. And you perform your project, and you ask for maybe what do you need, what can you do you need from us, what maybe some engineers or what kind of specialists do you need to do this project.
Mm-hmm. Can I then pair with some programmers that you have in your network?
Yeah, of course. And first of all, you need to say what goals you have, where you wanna get, and next one we'll try to suggest what we can help you with.
Mm-hmm. And how does your business model work? So how does it work on the money level?
How do you earn money?
Yeah.
Actually, Sensorama is now, it's currently not profitable. We invest...
It's a non-profit organization.
Currently, yes. We are thinking about... We are thinking about monetizing it by education, by getting specialists into our teams, into funding, so in investments in the projects. But currently, we invest Verum Visum invests in Sensorama.
So Verum Visum is your own company.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This commercial company which is making commercial projects and earning money and subsidized Sensorama.
What was the first VR experience you both had?
VR experience?
VR, yeah.
Museum, probably. Virtual museum. I have experienced it on Integrated System Europe 2014, beginning of 2014.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What have you experienced there?
I was impressed.
No, I mean, what was the experience? What was happening in the application?
It was like super simple idea of how museum, virtual museum could be. It's like walls and the statue standing and paints on the walls. But actually, at that time I was thinking, why to do the same that we have in real life to bring in virtual reality?
Yeah, sure.
But it was very interesting to experience how it looks like to be in different space when you are in real something other space.
And yours?
I think that the first experience was at roller coaster on DK1, even with this low resolution display. I think that it was really immersive and impressive for the first time.
Actually, one of my first VR experiences was surprisingly also a roller coaster. I bought myself the Jarovis Dive. It's like this plastic thingy with four Google Cardboard where you put your smartphone in. And I was like sitting alone in my home and packing it, and the first app was like this really shitty roller coaster app. And I had this weird feeling in my stomach that you really are, you know, driving through this roller coaster. And it was like so impressive to me. We dragged it to our professor with Chris, showed it to him, and we also did some research with it.
So he almost fell from the chair.
Yeah, roller coaster seems to be a really good introduction, first time experience. Now, you're working with autistic children. And I guess from the discussion we had before the podcast, one of the highly beneficial effects is that you see what they draw, what they have in their own mind. Like Kirill told me that one of the children draws a number, so he all the time draws like numbers around. And other effects. And we also have been discussing what you could do more, like do eye tracking and EEG. My guess, and it's a little bit uneducated guess, and Chris has to correct me if it's wrong, is that...
Fake facts.
One of the problems with autism is that people who have it can't really understand emotions from other people. So let's maybe discuss quickly whether we could train with VR to enable people to understand better emotions. Chris is actually a small expert on emotions. He was planning to do his master thesis about it.
On inducing that understanding.
Inducing understanding, but you could also, you know. But maybe you start and then we go on the round.
No, actually, just before we started this podcast, we had a discussion exactly on this topic.
Yeah.
So there are two things that need to be understood in context of autism. Children need to learn, like they're learning what are letters, they need to learn what are emotions. While for other children, it's natural to learn what are emotions, how they look like, how they feel like, they have empathy, they can relate to other people. The autistic children need to be shown what does happy look like, what does sad look like, because otherwise they don't understand it.
Trump tweets are always sad.
I'm kidding. And on the other hand, it's about what they can analyze. So when they are usually bad with social interactions for the reason that they are overwhelmed with amount of information that is flowing to them. So
if you reduce it, you could basically train them?
Not train. Let them interact with other people. It's even more basic, so to say, than teaching. It's just letting them communicate with other people. There are studies about how effective emojis are for autistic children to communicate.
So are you suggesting we should put a HoloLens on everyone who is autistic and it should analyze the emotional impression of the face?
Substitute
and put
face with emoji.
An emoji? It's kind of like Ghost in the Shell, right?
No.
The smiley.
What we were discussing is the benefit of all the social VR applications where in the first place you're substituted by other avatar that has no feedback on your emotions. Secondly, we were discussing the different levels of providing data. So you could implement just some blinking, automatized blinking. You could provide eye tracking. You could provide body tracking. You could provide rudimentary face tracking.
Yeah. So when we have been to the stress conference in Nijmegen with Chris, and it was something I told yesterday, Kirill, we witnessed a presentation of this great study where they looked at why some apes do integrate socially well and some don't. And they figured out that there is a correlation between how well the young baby monkeys actually mimic the impressions and the expressions of the face of their mother, because usually the apes don't do it. And the fun part was that they did not only figure out how it works, but they actually trained a small baby monkey when it was born to recognize faces very well. And not only that, they also were measuring EEG and then looking how well the monkeys did social integrate. They were basically having eye tracking and trained the monkey to look always at the face parts that are relevant to understand emotions, and it helped them. So we were like having this crazy idea that we should do something else in VR. So what do you guys think about it?
Yeah, actually some of the kids who was involved in this virtual reality experiments, they even have problems to talk with their parents. So
which is tough.
Yeah, and so that's why this idea appeared probably would it be interesting to help them to talk maybe with their parents if they will be with avatars of some favorable characters?
Yes, social VR, right? So basically the parents and the children join in a social room.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, it could actually follow the similar line of thought that we have for our medical applications at Virtual Spy. So what we are doing is building the realistic tasks, the tasks that you are going to perform in your real life with the chronical pains. So we have tasks like gather some vegetables, organize the books after your children left, cook a soup and then put the soup from the one table to another without spilling anything. And in this particular case, we could have actually the avatar that is similar to your parent, to your father, to your mother. And then you are communicating with your parents through this avatar that looks like your parents. So then you would have the knowledge from virtual reality, the skills that you gain with the limited data input, transferable to the real world situation where the child is imagining this parent. He could be reducing his parent to this virtual avatar even in the real world once he learns how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this possibility to collect data from every movement, where kids looks, so this gives a lot of possibilities for researchers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think virtual reality have a lot of possibilities to solve such problems or to start finding solutions to help those kids.
What about the other projects that you're doing in Sensorama?
Currently we are working on some hardware stuff like point of view camera. We are involved in a project like anti-bullying company for children, and where this point of view rig is mounted on the children, and they are in different situation, and so other children or their parents can be in that situation and can
so the bully can be bullied
to see the world bias of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
To give this possibility to parents, because sometimes they don't understand what is going on, how to be a kid to these days when you have iPad, computer, and everyone trying to type you something and to get to your mind from the PC. It's
strange when thousands of people are actually trying to harm you in internet, and it feels very strange emotionally.
Yeah, so this is also project that we are working on.
Very interesting.
It's more even commercial project. But yes, some way it's connected on the same topic, how to use virtual reality to help kids.
Okay, now a slight ping pong to the other place. What do you think about the Ukraine startup
scene?
Exactly. Thank you. The startup scene and the VR scene.
It's really starting, growing very extremely. To this date we have few companies who are making good money on gaming industry, virtual reality gaming industry.
Have also really great gaming companies. Metro, I think, is made in Ukraine, right?
Stalker.
They're really good.
Classy.
Yeah. Some companies making games for PlayStation already. PlayStation VR.
Mm-hmm.
But startup arena, it's like growing, maybe 7 to 10 years. But we have we don't have like support from government.
Sure.
We have support from the community. So everyone who involved in startup community, they trying to help each other.
Coming to the government now. Let's not get too political, but there have been recently some major political changes in Ukraine. Would you say that the overall political situation has improved for startups, because now it's easier to invest money, now Ukraine is more focused on the west side of Europe, or did it actually harm the startup economy because a lot of people rather moved out because of fear?
I think that the whole bad economic situation in Ukraine stimulates startups not to focus on local market, but to be focused on global market and to look to the direction of the United States or another big markets. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that. There is statistics that international foreign investments in startups are growing now the last 2 years, but I think that the main thing is that really people are going to these conferences and building their products, showing on the developing.
But it should be easier now with the EU having this regulation that Ukrainian citizens can go for 90 days without a visa to Europe. Was it tough to you to come to the CeBIT?
This new regulation is not started yet. It's beginning from June. Really some new things are going on better and better. For example, we can make agreements without the stamp as it wasn't previously. Only signature could be available. We can make like digital contracts already. Yeah, some good things are going well. Better, not well, but better.
Sure.
Yeah, but of course, from other way, we have not so big taxes. Yeah, for private
entrepreneurs
right now. Yeah, also like economical situation and devaluation of. Currency also
boost
the growing brings more money from other countries. This situation can bring more growth in the IT sector.
So how do you see VR in future? So you have been working since 7 years with VR. You're doing
3 years.
Okay, but you have the company Interactive Technologies. Well, some kind of early stages of VR. Yeah. I mean, Interaction, Kinect and stuff. And then VR 3 years, okay. But how do you see the future of your company, of the VR market, and also all the innovative things that everyone is talking about? Are you as optimistic as, and now the keynote speakers, everything will change, a new computational wave, VR is like, woo! Or like, yeah, let's do some business, it's cool, but more on the ground, or how do you see it?
why we decided to do Sensorama? Because we started making researches, and we found that there is a lot of ways to make research, a lot of ways to make new projects, so we found that we need to concentrate on the main things that we are working on. But we can bring more people and share with them experience and to help them to grow other projects, to help them to make research in those fields on which we haven't time, on we couldn't concentrate on. But to make such teams could bring more growth and more quickly.
Mm. Yeah. Would you say that the price drop of HMDs allowed you to do your company in the first place based on VR, because previously VR systems would cost 300, 400,000, 1 million a cave, but now you basically can, save some money on coffee and get a VR headset and start developing. Did this help?
Actually, if to talk how the idea was in working virtual reality interactivity in the beginning, there was the idea to one of our projects that we are working on is dedicated to Chernobyl.
I remember.
How
is it called?
Chernobyl 360, and 7-8 years ago there was idea to give people possibility to visit Chernobyl because people are afraid to get there, and I was thinking
for good reasons.
And it was idea how it could be done, and as you said, the one possibility it was to give them access to cave, which costs more than $500,000. But On that time, already started thinking that DIY, hacking, you can make like a cave by yourself.
Yes.
If you have 6 to 5 projectors.
Exactly.
Yeah, connected it using, I don't know, processing or VVV, some special toolkits, and you can make your own cave. But then, 3 years ago, we saw virtual reality and the prices drops dramatically. So yeah, I think also interesting hardware that still not showed everything that is possible is HTC Vive Light trackers.
The Lighthouse trackers definitely have more potential.
Yeah, yeah. So it's only beginning, and there is not a lot of people who are researching what is possible, because I think it is possible to use it for, I know, autonomous cars or for some small, autonomous
cars. About using it actually for agriculture technology.
Agriculture technology.
Which is a strange case, but it would be even there useful.
Yeah, yeah. And even not a lot of people are seeking what is possible, how to use it. But I think in the future, more and more would be interesting project in this field. And what about the prices? As far as we was a few weeks ago in China, and headset there you can buy even for $75, all in one headset.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Is it feeling good enough?
Well, you get what you pay for.
Or you're
for,
sort
right?
of afraid that those $75 will explode on your face?
It looks like DK1 probably. Mm-hmm. But you don't have like big PC with great power. You
sure.
It's a little bit...
It's a start.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
does the content come from?
They have like some of operating system based on Android.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you can imagine it like Gear VR.
So basically
Oculus,
cardboard.
Mobile Oculus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there you have a store where you can order applications.
But is it is the store only for this particular headset, or all those cheap headsets have sort of the common store?
Yeah. They have all these headsets have the same.
Okay.
And the name of this Nibiru.
Mm-hmm.
And they have already 500,000 devices on the market.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, when we speak about China, the numbers are always overwhelming.
Half of these headsets are on overseas markets.
Whoa.
So half of them on the China, half of them overseas.
That's not bad. I mean.
And it's only the beginning. It starts only 1 year ago, in April 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see how these kind of devices will grow. And it is very interesting that there is not a lot of talk about this.
Some people are occasionally talking about China as being a huge motor for VR. It's just not very present here because of the language barrier and the overseas barrier. But it's really interesting. But
and on the other hand, the Germany is a land of quality. People sort of expect something else.
Well, maybe. All right.
And if talking about the China, we plan to launch the Sensorama branch in Shenzhen, which will be specialized in hardware products. So it's
that's
one
a great place to do it.
Yes. Yeah. So we decided to make it like a software in software hub, software ecosystem in Ukraine, and hardware in Shenzhen. And that's why we decided to sign an agreement with some organization specialized in hardware in China, in Shenzhen.
But isn't Shenzhen the same place our company is based?
No.
It's not Shenzhen?
No. Shenzhen is one of the cities where it's one of the best places to do the hardware startup, because you have manufacturers right across the street. I'm not entirely sure if that's where Insta360 is, but in one of those Chinese cities where where you have exactly the situation like in Shenzhen, you have this Insta360 company that produces cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do a true agile manufacturing, in the sense that they have idea today, in 2 hours they have the sketch, they're going to the shop across the street, buying parts for prototype, and in 2 days they have it by manufacturers making a new prototype. And that's why that's one of the fastest developing, pivoting VR 360 cameras right now on the market.
And also we have seen their 4K headset already. They have it on the market. It's also all-in-one device.
Why don't we know about it?
But
upload. You need to be covering a little better China.
China. China. Rice China. There's a great book called Nexus. It's like a three-piece book. Mm. And at some point, there's like a queue in China, and like because this drug makes your brain connected and stuff.
Cool.
And there's like cuckoo, yeah. And there's like this great line: China rice, whatever.
Yeah, but if to talk more about where it goes, and I think would be interesting to see in the future all-in-one devices with Windows on base.
Microsoft is pushing it.
Yeah, yeah. Windows holographic with I don't know, RealSense, hands tracking. Mixed reality motion, experiences.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, speaking about all-in-one device, we are right now looking at Nintendo Switch. Right this moment, it's in front of us.
Yeah, someone's playing here on the fair. Well, great. I would say the last famous words. What do you want to say? Do you have a message?
Everything is only... This is only the beginning. And let's see where it goes. I think all of us are interested to see how virtuality can make the world better. Mm. And I think all of us are working on this.
I'm seeing that it, I'm sure that it's the next big thing. And not only virtuality, I see the great potential in augmented reality, of course. And we are waiting for some big, big players to come to the market with their hardware to push everything. So I think that it's the best time to make great startups in this field.
Now a short information to our audience. We are really sorry in case you are hearing a lot of background
music
and noise and whatever you want to define it as. There's we are sitting right next to the VR cinema, where they had first off some sort of hackathon or workshop where they were making movies, and they are watching them through right now.
Yeah. Well, last famous words from me, joining you. Everything is a dream, Neil. Wake up. No. Reality, VR, who knows where we are going.
Thank you guys for this opportunity.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was a great episode where we could finally discuss a little bit more of science. Not just business case and technology. That seemed to be a theme for our last few episodes.
But we are trying, but there is just so much happening around, and business is usually a little bit faster than science. However, what motivates me a lot is to see startups like you, companies like you, who are not only doing business, but also trying the best you can to enable with technology a better life for people. And I think this is the ultimate goal we should, you know, be driven by. And what you're doing with autistic children, what you want to do with bullying, is just quite impressive. And it's really a good cause that you're doing. So, yeah, I hope someone from our audience have, you know, some money left. I can just throw it to you. Who knows? just put the number of your bank account in the show. Okay, how can people reach you?
Sensoramalab.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
the Facebook,
the same Facebook. Yeah, we are posting a lot of information about events.
Nice.
And so I think in 3 months we'll have like competition of projects in our lab. So we'll be interested to invite angel investors who wants to invest in early.
We would be bad to invite angel investors who don't want to invest. But yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, without further ado, as usual, like, comment, share.
And hear you next time.
See you next time. Goodbye.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.